This is John Kilorn for Payments.com, and we're here today speaking with Jonathan Hancock, who is the Director of Fraud Management Solutions for TSYS. Welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you, John. Good morning.
Just going to speak to you briefly about the EMV standard liability shift coming up and fraud in general. First thing I want to ask you about is the EMV standards that are coming up in the U.S. in just a few months. Now, the expectation is that while card losses may decline, that could be offset by the rise in CNP fraud. What steps should card issuers take today to prepare for this scenario?
Yeah, indeed. EMV standards cover a number of payment security areas on a global basis, notably the standards for chip card issuance, tokenization, and more recently, for 3D Secure. TSYS clients are very much well on the way to upgrading their issued cards to the EMV chip standard, and round about 50% of our clients have now completed their rollout. Experience from other regions who have rolled out EMV chip cards has shown us that whilst initially there has been a tendency for counterfeit to surge during rollout, this is relatively short-lived and is a result of fraudsters and organized criminal gangs, their dying throws and their last-ditch attempt to steal what they can by way of counterfeiting cards. Now, while there is evidence that the older SDA, which is the static data authentication chip cards, can be successfully counterfeited, the more commonly used DDA, the dynamic data authentication, and indeed the next level of combined data authentication cards, have not been, to date, successfully counterfeited. Previous rollouts have also taught us that, indeed, as you say, John, fraud will migrate to the online or the card-not-present channel. One of the primary steps that issuers can take to prepare for this scenario is to implement a standard known as 3D Secure, as I mentioned earlier, also managed by EMVCo. 3D Secure 2.0, as it's known, is very much a move away from the troublesome and historic static password system of old. It's now very much more dynamic and all but completely invisible to the cardholder, who will really only have to put a one-time password into the 3D Secure system. That can be sent to them via SMS, and it's really only about 5% of the time on the very high-risk transactions. This system really works by using very sophisticated modeling in the background to assess the risk around a transaction. An online transaction, 80% of the time, just approving it without any input required from the cardholder at all. Issuers also need to revisit their detection system rules, their strategies, to ensure that they are constantly tweaking them in line with the incoming fraud trends, and to ensure that they can prevent further frauds from taking place. I think one of the underlooked areas also is cardholder education programs. You know, cardholders really want to be involved in looking after the security of their cards, and issuers can help them do this by educating them on best practices and teaching them, I guess, what to expect when they're using their card online and how to use it securely.
Well, we've got about 49% of fraud falling on devices now, talking about laptops, desktops, mobile phones, or terminal, and this is occurring with multiple cards as well, which makes fraud detection a little more complex. Is there a way to be proactive in situations like this?
Indeed, there is. I've just mentioned about 3D Secure and how it uses device profiling, very sophisticated device profiling that works in the background and which is completely oblivious to the cardholder. That assesses the level of risk around an online transaction. It helps provide the data into that. And essentially what this profiling does is it looks at things like what's known as the device DNA. So it takes a digital fingerprint of the device to assess whether it's a known device that has had fraud previously. It also looks at things like the location of the device and the geolocation of the device compared to where for example, the cardholder is normally based and has transacted previously, as well as things like the merchant profile and propensity for fraud, the value of the transaction, and a number of other factors. So from this profile of the device, the 3D Secure system can make an assessment of the likelihood that transaction is fraud and return an appropriate decision to either to approve if it considers it low risk or to decline if it considers it very high risk, or for that kind of grey area in the middle, it could send a one-time passcode to the cardholder via, for example, SMS, they can use to authenticate themselves as a second, third factor.
All right, well, just one last question. I'm going to take sort of an overview on the bigger misconceptions about fraud and protection and how they can be corrected. What's out there? What are people not understanding? And how can that be adjusted?
Yeah, that's a great question. I still come across, you know, one of the biggest misconceptions, and I don't want to, I guess, hark on about 3D Secure, but it still has some very big misconceptions. That it is that annoying pop-up box that comes up when you're checking out online, you know, asking you for a password that you can never remember. So that is now completely history. As we talked about in the past couple of points, it's very much an invisible system. And I think also that customers want to participate in protecting themselves. So educating them on best practices has indeed shown to have a very positive effect on reducing fraud levels. From the general population, you know, you read an awful lot about data compromises, about card details or identities being stolen pretty much every day now, really. That clearly raises concerns for consumers, for you and me as a consumer. Oh, have my details been compromised? Am I going to get a load of fraud? It's worth saying that while fraud is a problem area, it is a relatively low incidence of the fraud that do happen. You know, most of the transactions, 99%+ of card transactions go through without any problem, without any fraud. It's just a very small amount of fraud that, when it does impact you, does have cause for concern. So I think education is the very underutilized tool that issuers can play on.
All right. Well, that's all I have for you today. As I said, the conversation was going to be brief. I do want to thank you, Jonathan, for sharing your perspective with us today.
Okay, John, my pleasure. It's great to talk to you again.